Zephaniah chapter, well, the reading is chapter 3. Zephaniah is obviously one of the 12 minor prophets.
I wonder how he would feel about this.
He says it right here.
You can tell by
his
three pages.
I wonder how he would feel about being called minor.
He's taking out her Bible dictionary.
Zephaniah was one of the reasons that the Passover of Josiah was such a Passover. Because he was the prophet that prophesied against the high places. The word Zephaniah, the word itself in the Hebrew, means hidden of God. Or better translation, the better translation say, God's secret stuff. That's what the word Zephaniah means, huh? What?
You look like Santa Claus when you do that
special stuff.
Not special. God's secret stuff.
Josiah, at the Passover of Josiah.
He was the, Zephaniah was the dude that tore down all of the, he's
totally break down.
Graven images.
Zephaniah, in chapter 2 of Zephaniah, is where the concept of hot seats came from.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we don't like that
thing. Let's rip this out. Let's just rip this thing out. This is not canon.
Now, we let's cross out from time to time. Can we cross it?
It was a hot seat.
Stop taking out the chairs.
Gather yourselves together in chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourself. This isn't the reading, but this is where the hot seats are from. Gap, what?
We don't need to know this,
do we? September. September, you need to know this. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. By definition then, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come unto you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, that two verses are the reason that you've experienced hot seats, that you might be hid in the day of his anger, that you might bring forth before the judgment. You understand?
That's a good question.
What?
But I didn't ask it.
What are we hid by?
What are you hid by? The kapora, which is the mercy seat, which is the type of Christ. And what you're hid by is Ha Kippura, which the mercy seat, with the wings of the cherubim on it, we're seated between the wings of the cherubim, which is called the oracle of God. That's what that place is called. Let every man speak as the oracle of God. You speak from the certainty that you're under the wings. Now, everything that's in the Ark of the Covenant that everybody's searching for, everything that's in the Ark is death. If they open the ark the slightest little bit, it's over. Death is, it's come. Now, they're not going to find the ark because the ark is in the heavenlies. And we are opening that ark by understanding those seven seals. And as we understand the seven seals, one seal at a time, and we can show you how that's happening and what we're doing, then we cause the plagues to come upon the earth. And when the final seventh seal is opened,
there's only one place to be.
Then time shall be no more. And that's the reason that we have hot seats. Because when time is no more and every man face the judgment seat, then he must be hid in the place where there's only mercy. There must be not the slightest tendency for self-justification. You must rush to the mercy seat and the mercy seat only. The mercy seat can't have any component of something left to do. You want to piss God off? Tell him the sacrifice of his son wasn't enough. You want to see anger? I keep telling you guys, I'm a pussycat. That's why we do it. That's why we do. That's why I speak from where I speak from. That's why I push you to the wall. That's why I challenge every single motivation that you have so that you would be hid in the day of his wrath. If I don't do that, I'm not doing my job. Understand?
So which of the seven seals are we on?
We really don't hear this. We're not hearing this in this finished thing real good. Let me go over this one more.
No, wait a minute.
Is it six? Or is it
seven? No.
How lucky do you feel?
No.
Ask yourself a question.
We are on the seventh, but we're waiting for you.
Oh! He shoots his sword.
You believe on that?
Got him down on the floor.
I understand that.
Yeah, right.
What? What'd you do?
So you got him down on the floor.
Working him over.
Okay, now the readings for Genesis 11. Or Zephaniah 3, verses 9 through 20. But remember, you have to read, if from the Haftarah, from the prophets, you have to read at least 21 verses. That's the rule. So that means that we have to go back to chapter 2, verse 15, and start in order that we can get the 21st. So this is, I mean, you understand, there's a way that Christ and the disciples, and for 400 years before Christ, that they studied Scripture. They didn't invent things like they do today. All right, so
two verse what?
We started, remember, the readings are specifically verse 8 through 20. This is what was read at the time of Christ, when Christ was with the disciples. He was teaching them Genesis 11, and then he said, and this is the prophets for that section. All right?
If I do the reading, can I break the six seals and catch up with y'all?
No.
No.
Nice try.
It's Jerry.
2:15
to the end.
Yeah, chapter 2, verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Now, the way we do it here is that every person reads seven verses. So, once you read
verse seven. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in? Everyone that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand.
Okay, now obviously they're talking about Babylon. The Babylon, they're only, again, it's spiritual Babylon. Okay.
I said it, queen. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
Stop. I mean, that describes it describes the city of cause and effect and all the priests that are in that city. Whether the priests are in Jesus' name or in Buddha's name or in capitalistic name or in free enterprise name or in communism name, it's all cause and effect. Her prophets are light and treacherous. Light prophets.
L-I-T-E. Locale prophets.
Locale. Okay.
The just Lord is in the midst of thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame.
I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man. There is none inhabited.
Yeah. No, notice that's all in the past tense. It's already happened. Jude says the whole world is on fire. They're still out there playing in the fire. The whole world is
burning up.
Okay.
I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent.
Now again, remember, this is what happened on the feast of Pentecost. First, and this we go backwards, on the feast of Pentecost, the Tower of Babel was destroyed, and the 70, they all spoke one language, but from an evil heart. They were of one mind, but from an evil mind. Now, so God confused all the languages, so that there's now 70 languages in the nations. Now, he said, as a prophecy, for then I will turn the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Again, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. That all the people spoke in diverse tongues, but the question, I mean, the real meaning of it is that they spoke so that every man could that had the circumcised heart could hear the word of God. Now, the same thing is now, today, always, ever. There's one faith, one baptism, one body, but there's also one tongue, one language. It's not no longer the language of whether it's English or Hebrew or all that went by the board. Now the only language is tested or proven love. Now that's a biggie. It doesn't matter what your words are. Words are meaningless. Now it must be tested in the laying down of the fruit of your life, or your soul must be laid down for the brethren. Without qualification. Well, I think I'll lay down my soul for those brethren who I like. Well, then you're not laying down your life, you understand? Then you're retaining your life and getting righteousness from what you're doing. Try laying down your life for a whole group of homeless people that all they want to do is bust you anyway and say there's nobody here. You know, I mean, I mean, it's weird around here, folks.
It's really funny because you can try to go talk to some other person that speaks a different language about theology. It's the same thing as the 70 people.
Sure, it's the same thing. That's why the only time we'll ever be able to speak to a person is if they're in need. Mm-hmm. If they're not in need, they can't understand us. That's why the word says so positively, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth not God heareth not us. Hereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I mean, everything in the scriptures. The theology is ridiculous. I mean, do you realize how bored I am with these idiots and their theology? I mean, in the first place, I mean, it doesn't take a mental giant to destroy him just on pure logic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why duel with an unarmed man?
Or don't
There's no joy in that. I mean, all these idiots from theology school and Baptist Theological Seminary and the Bible churches, their theology lasts about one sentence. I mean, and you remember, how many of them did you bring?
A bunch. Five, six, more.
I mean, I'm not talking about me, it's the thing.
Well, now, I mean, even I can do it.
Yeah.
And that's not...
It really doesn't take much.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a group along these lines. I go back, I attend on Sundays at a Baptist church, and there are people there that I have a relationship with that are in tremendous need. I don't know if you call it compassion or what, I just want to fill the needs of these people. But I don't have the time and the energy and I just can't do it all. I'm frustrated to death over this.
Well, if you're in a church that doesn't have a place to meet need, then you're not in a church.
I'm the person that's trying to meet the need.
Well, my point is that you're not in that church then.
I know what you're saying. That's why I made it that way.
There has to be a body of people. If I tried to meet singularly the needs, I tried it for a long time and I got busted. There's got to be a place. There's got to be a place where you fall into the ground and die, and there's a group of like-minded believers that meet the need. First of all, you trust in placing. Do you understand what a big deal it is to be able to trust somebody that's in need and give that person to someone else?
Yeah.
It's a big one. How many, if you had a brother or a close relative or a loved one in need, where would you bring them? In true need, where would you bring them?
I was trying to meet the needs myself.
Okay. Then you haven't. If you had met the need yourself, there would have been a church around you. You've healed the hurt of my people lightly. You've said peace, peace, when there is no peace. You've had the appearance of life with no life. I'm waiting for someone to tell me not to hedge my words.
I'm saying go on because we talked about this yesterday.
Well, again, and I'm not saying I'm not condemning you. You've done the best you could. But hear me. It's now time. I mean, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. And all of those things you're talking about are childish things. Now, when I became a man, I put away the childish things. I divorced them.
And we're not saying divorce one, take another of equal futility or of equal vanity. We're saying divorce that one.
And I'm not saying even divorce that church.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying divorce that way. Yeah. Let you be a sign and a wonder in the midst of it, if that's what it's to be. Where you make where they either become a first century church or they expel you.
Okay. That you're doing on a larger scale. I'm one on one with four or five people. That have a definite need. And
well, then I'm telling you, then you're in some kind of a class. You have a Sunday school?
Yeah.
Okay. Let the class, how many people are in it?
It won't work.
Well,
how do you know? There are just five or six people in the church that have the compassion or the trust, the faith.
Well.
It's a total frustration.
Well, then, but you have to speak to it.
Stop the class.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
You have to stop it. Do you realize how many...
I teach a class during Sunday school, so I don't have a class I can stop.
Well, if your class is in that condition, then you're not
my
being honest.
My class is kids. No, my class is fine. It's kids.
Okay.
But
aren't they coming to your house now?
I have a Thursday night thing now that I just started that is this way. And that's the 4 or 5 that I'm talking about. But we...
What?
Where do I go? what you're doing, how can I come here and say, look, I've got six or seven people in need, yank you all the way to Mesquite? I'm not going to feel right doing that. And well, I just, you know what I just felt? You know what I told Rob today?
No.
I told him, if you don't let us help, you're kind of...
Uh-huh.
And I just said it myself. Forgive me.
Yeah, I'm not, believe me, I do not want a denomination.
No.
What I want is every person that is a believer in America or in the world to live their belief.
But there's such a tremendous need.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a big boy. God can do a lot.
No, you...
This goes back to that, you know...
Take 10 people in your church. Organize them in some way that have some commonality, either by neighborhood or by job or some reason that they have some proximity, and give them that one person and say, this is now here, and give 10 more and give them the next person. That's the way the church was evangelized. I mean, that's the way the world was turned upside down. It's time to stop words.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
well, then take, you know, We'll loan you some homeless people.
Yeah.
Return them.
Yeah.
We've got several in the church.
Better return
them. Don't bring
them. I mean, okay. Let's go ahead and bring.
Well,
and okay.
Don't let there develop a homeless bureaucracy.
Exactly. There's a class system that develops in churches so fast. You're the lower class, we don't speak to you, and it ends up being a Bible church like Burnett was going to. And, man, no way.
Bring one of those homeless people to your 4 or 5 member group.
We have gotten them coming on Thursday night. That's what's developing, and maybe that's good, and I should be more patient. But I just there's so much to do.
Well,
I know. Wait on the Lord, and I keep.
Yeah, but by the same token,
I'm sorry to get off track.
The Pentecost readings. Or not just what we're reading here, they're also the book of Ezekiel. And the book of Ezekiel doesn't describe Russia invading Israel. The book of Ezekiel describes what life in the spirit looks like. And there's a whirlwind, and it's not a helicopter, and there's a wheel within a wheel, and it's not another helicopter. And there's this creature that has four faces. And has the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, and the face of a man. What it's seen, what that is, that's the description of your life, spiritual life, then there is never a need, there is never a time, how can I say it? God will force the waiting on you. You don't have to worry about waiting. But your action is just like a lion. You're either totally at rest or you're attacking. There's never a place when you're not in one of those two positions. You're either totally at rest or you've gone for somebody's throat. And so, you've got to speak to these things. I don't think you believe the stuff you say about your church in the first place. Well, about the fact that, oh, it's so great to say the same things we do. But I don't think you believe that.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay. You have got to become one person before you can do anything. And now you're more than one. You're maybe three or four. You've got to be one and let all of those different aspects of different mics merge. You've got to be more interested in the will of God than in peace. You've got to be willing to lose everything to open your mind.
That's what I was feeling like. You're trying to go do something for them when there's a lot to do need left to be done with you.
I'm just trying to do the right thing. It's always been so deaf.
You're taking time on that one night and these nights and running up, and you know, you need to.
There's a tendency to want to save yourself through what you do with others.
That's, yeah.
It doesn't work.
See, I always do the opposite. I always try to kick everybody out.
It's because you're mean. You die.
But I have an ample scriptural evidence for doing that. Let's.
Well, Alec, what was the question? I mean, that church is a gathering of people, and most of them, it's more like I should leave, not that I should kick them out. So,
well, that's all dependent and from the position that you're looking.
And right, I look at myself now from this perspective instead of that perspective.
Well, then you are looking at yourself from no place. Because if what you've heard has caused you to want to be out of there and you're still there, and what you've heard has caused you to want to be here but you're not here, then you're, of all people, in 2 or 3 or 4 or 45 or 455 places. In other words, be somewhere and be there totally. Now, if it's going to cost something with regard to Sherry, then, you know, that's another story. But if you're kidding yourself, then you've got to see that.
Talk about this later.
Okay. Zephaniah.
From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplements, even the...
Wait a minute. Nobody knows where you are.
Oh, yeah.
Since 3:10. I was just saying,
no,
it was like we unfroze her. We unfroze her.
We're not hanging on every verse.
She's been sitting there so long, she's crouching.
I'm listening to your sweet voice.
She's
crouching
lying.
Crouching.
You're either sitting quietly waiting or you're reading. It's one of those two.
She's crouching, she's attacking.
Pick up your Bible, Darren.
She's always
I'm listening to your
last voice. Is everyone... Okay.
Suppliants.
Oh, okay, thanks. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering.
Okay, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, and we are the suppliants, shall bring the offering. What is the offering? The offering is the burnt offering. Whenever the word "the offering" is used in the scripture, it only means one offering. It means the burnt offering. And the burnt offering is the offering that can only be offered when all of the other things have been met. When all of the washings have been completed, the ashes of the red heifer, the jealousy, the waters of jealousy, the leprosy offering, and then the trespass offering has been made, the sin offering has been made, the peace offering has been made, the meat offering has been made, and then for all of that, and finally, the burnt offering. The burnt offering is a sweet savor. It satisfies God.
Does that have anything to do with the seventh seal?
No. Have you? Oh yeah, right. I got so mad in that movie I couldn't even spit.
Holy!
Yeah, but it was good when the German guys melted away. That was pretty.
Yeah, that was
just don't look at it. You'll be safe then.
That was pretty. I like the realism.
Wait a minute. Keep your finger in. Keep your finger in Zephaniah.
Hollywood.
Can we say that?
1 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 3.
Mothers don't think about that.
The day of, are you listening, Miss Ark of the Covenant seal?
Where is this bloody thing?
Chapter
3. 1 Peter what?
2 Peter,
chapter
3, verse 10.
I'm out of practice.
God in heaven, Criswell, did I put up with this?
No, I don't have an acronym. I keep forgetting.
You make up your accurate.
I'll get right on that.
Daryl.
I'll get right on that.
The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, that's what happens when the seventh seal is opened.
Right.
There's that little thingies coming out of the ark and getting eyes. And
that's why.
Oh, Indiana, you've saved us.
The seal of the Lord.
it's easy for you to say, huh?
The earth is on fire, and you have to like pull people out of the fire. That's
yeah, but the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, but the movie was so
thermal. Not just the Nazis.
Not just the bad guys.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Back to Zeph.
Verse 11. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings. Therein thou hast turned.
Wherein?
Oh, therein thou
where?
Hast
where?
Where?
Oh, there.
Therein.
Wherein? Wherein? Thou hast transgressed against me.
Now, look at that. And that's a big one. And that day, when you, what that day is, it's the day that you apprehend the Feast of Pentecost. And that day you shall not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. Why?
Because
you've been able to make the offering.
You,
the
ascension position. You're in the what? Do it.
Ascension position.
Rocketeer. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. Who's them that rejoice in thy pride? The evil ones within you.
Oh.
Okay.
And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain.
Amen.
I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid.
None shall make them afraid. Now, we've been studying this over and over and over the last few days, that the evidence of the enthronement of Satan in an area or a city or a company or a church or a community, the evidence of the enthronement of Satan is the presence of apparent peace and the absence of strife.
This is wild. These descriptions of the these descriptions of the faithful, you know, that they're afflicted and poor, and that it's a remnant.
Amen.
I mean, it's just, it violates everything that you think about what God would want to save, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if I were, I would do this whole. I mean, if I were God, I'd do this all differently.
Sing, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O Israel! Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of your
popcorn.
Beat me up, Scotty.
There's no idea. The king. Okay.
Don't bring those.
Things. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore.
Hallelujah.
And in that day.
Now stop. Hear me. This is.
But evil would be iniquity right there.
You shall not see it any longer. You shall only see Christ. God is all and in all.
Because you won't be able to see what's good or
evil. Yeah, it's just, you see it. You see it from a totally different position. You see it from the ascended position. But he's taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy. Your only enemy is the evil one. He's been cast out. Where's Barbara?
It's right here.
Oh.
And all right.
Remembers.
Will somebody read?
In that day.
My mouths are just calling me.
In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slain.
Man. And that's what's happening. I mean, I can feel it in us. That this idea that he is saying to us, you know, don't let your hands be slack. Fear nothing.
What does it mean?
Is that what it means?
Don't abandon yourself.
No, no. No, there's that you will see with clarity what's in front of you. You won't, there won't be this drooping hands of sorrow and, you know.
Just play
hands.
You'll just be hanging in.
It
means
don't
lift
back.
Up the feeble
hands.
Lift up the feeble hands.
I have a basic question. It was said to Jerusalem and to Zion. What, I don't.
Zion is
it's a Hebrew word for desert. It means parched or dry. It's that place that looks like it has no life. But Mount Zion is the only mountain. It's the overriding mountain. It's the metaphor that exists throughout time. And Jerusalem is a city on top of Mount Zion.
It's the one in verse 11. It's my holy mountain.
Was it like a desert there? Or
there's no
mountain. Like my imagination pictures it as well
as green. No, it's mostly desert.
Now.
And there's no mountain.
No, there isn't Jerusalem.
Yeah, but we said Mount Zion is a low place.
Mount Zion is a low place, right?
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty.
This is so funny to hear God.
Single daughter of Zion.
Single daughter.
It gets real loud.
It resonates. He will say.
Have you ever noticed how when all this starts drinking, people with the Bibles automatically
She's hiding.
Hiding behind the Lord.
She makes fun of me and then hides behind the Holy Bible.
Yeah, she gets you a cup of coffee though, doesn't she?
No, not her.
Oh.
Oh, this, yeah, no. September is wonderful.
Holy's favorite.
September is my favorite.
I've been demoted.
It's
convenient.
This is the longest seven verses in history.
Read on, reader.
You're the one that's supposed to keep control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes.
Amen. Jeremiah says that I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And there I'll give you pastors that shall feed you with knowledge and understanding after mine own heart. There's things that are, I mean, I it's like there's sensory things. We're not being, I mean, we've been at this for a long time, folks. And it didn't happen so that God is going to keep us hidden.
Yeah.
It's about to explode. I keep saying that. Mm-hmm. And we won't have any idea what's going to happen next. It'll be the most exciting, offbeat things that you can ever imagine. But the doctrine, that doctrine into which we have been delivered has been proven and tested in a body of people. The fact that salt, the fact that the idea of the component of eternity can be in every speech and every word is true.
It's really something to me that, like in the morning when I look around, we got some people that have really, really been beat up. And
we're having 20 people at breakfast, Bible study breakfast.
Holy moly.
But, you know, the thing about being a failure or being sorrowful or being sad or being, you know, broken marriages and blah, blah, blah. I mean, what we read tonight, the condemned city is the rejoicing city, and then 18, 19, it's the sorrowful and burdens and afflicted and halted and
those that were driven out.
Yeah, I mean, people that have failed and been broken and beat.
No. Pretty neat stuff.
It's sort of like we're sitting over here on the outskirts of the city, just outside the gate or something, and the weakest ones that get driven out are the ones that end up here.
And if someone comes here and doesn't know that they're weak, and have been driven out, then they find out that they are really weak.
That's pretense. Yeah, pretense gets destroyed.
I mean, there's so many people that you see in the course of a day, and they may have the appearance of being beaten or being weak, but I've met some of the strongest people I know.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's no guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. His dad is from our eyes is in a place of terrible weakness. But internally, he's in a position of tremendous strength.
That's true.
Well, that was the Zeph reading. Zephaniah. At that time will I bring you again, even at the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity, when I deliver you before your eyes, saith the Lord.
Amen.
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 That's enough. Anybody that, again, please take some of these if you have anybody that you want to invite to the party. Why don't you invite Mike?
Can I invite Moo?
Does that work?
Well, so I'm nervous about calling my mom, you know, inviting
you. Don't. I mean, you've got to follow the impulse. You've got to follow your own cloud. If it's fear, then just say, Father, dispel the fear.
I think I want to do it, but I think I'm uneasy about it. I don't know.
Well, again, if the cloud's down, do nothing. If it's raised, go for it. Don't worry about what anybody else said. The cloud is yours. It can't be described to anybody else. There's no shoulds. You don't have no idea what's going to happen. Don't. There's no shoulds. There's no ought tos ever again.
Being called invited,
which is maybe fine. There's no shoulds. There's no ought tos ever, period, for anything.
Well,